Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. You can have a seat and get your Bibles and go with me to Colossians, the second chapter. We're in a two-part series, a little two-parter. We call this Ritual versus Reality. Last time we were together, we launched out in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 11. Take a look at it with me. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 11 says, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Now, let me just rewind some of your thinking for a moment. Remember, we talked about that it's not about the outward, it's not about the fleshly things that are taking place. It's about the inward realities that are going on in our lives. And in the battle between ritual and reality, remember we said this, that the ritual's no good without obedience. That it's really about the heart of the matter, and that the reality will win every time. Reality will trump ritual every time. Now, I want you to notice something. In verse number 11, there is not a period at the end of the sentence. This is a continued sentence that goes on into the next verse, verse number 12. It says, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." Now, this is the only time in the Bible you'll find these two things connected, circumcision and baptism, so closely related. This is the only place you'll find it. And I believe that he did this because there's something that takes place. Remember, we talked about circumcision being a symbol, being a sign that there was something that took place. It identified the people who were circumcised as the people of God. You remember we talked about that? So there was an identification, but also there was an obedience factor that came into play. That they circumcised their male children on the eighth day out of obedience to the commandments of God. In the same way, I believe that baptism is connected with circumcision in the same manner, that there is a identification for believers who are water baptized. When you become a Christian, when you say yes to Jesus, and now all of a sudden the church says, "Hey, we want you to go be water baptized," it shows something that's taken place on the inside of your heart. It is a symbol of the thing that's happened. You were buried with him, that old life is gone, and now you're raised again to new life, and that baptism identifies you as a part of the church, as a part of the people of God. You are a Christian, and so you are baptized. But also it's an obedience, that we're walking out and living out the will of the Father. That Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We are baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of identification with him in his death, and as well as in his resurrection, but also in obedience to the commandment of God to be baptized. There is a sign in baptism, but there's also the significance. And I believe that when we look at this, sometimes people get the wrong idea. I'm going to make some statements today that may rub some religious flesh the wrong way, but I'm going to back it up with scripture. You're going to see what we're talking about, and you're going to understand today what really not only the sign of baptism is, but also the significance it has for each and every one of our lives. I want to point out something to you that was very interesting to me in my studies that I believe that the Holy Spirit was directing my attention towards. I want you to notice the fact that in circumcision and baptism, Jesus himself was both circumcised and baptized. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Jesus himself was both circumcised and baptized. Now, it's easy to understand why Jesus was circumcised, right? Because he was born under the law. He was born, in case anybody was wondering, Jesus was not white or black or Mexican. Jesus was a Jew, okay? The Bible's very clear about that. And so here comes Jesus, born under the law, a Jewish baby, and on the eighth day, when they named him with the name that was given to them by the angel, Jesus, what they would do is they would circumcise him and give him his name. That was a part of the religious rite that they brought their children through in obedience to the commandments of God. Jesus came, and he had to identify with the Jewish people. It had to be made known that he came through the seed of David because of the promises and the covenants all throughout the Bible. So he had to identify with the nation of Israel. He had to identify with the Jewish people. That's why it was so important that he was circumcised. Also, out of obedience, remember, Jesus fulfilled the law in his flesh. He had to hold to every standard of the Word of God and fulfill the law of God so that when he went to the cross, he could qualify to be the Lamb of God. Because if there was any spot, if there was any blemish, he would be disqualified from being the sacrificial lamb on our behalf. But because Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly, completely, wholly in his flesh, he was able to go to the cross and be our substitutionary sacrifice. That's good news for you, and that's good news for me. Now, we understand why Jesus was circumcised, but why was Jesus baptized? Think about this for a second. He went to John the Baptist to be baptized by John. Now, we know from the book of Acts that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. In fact, when you read the things that John was preaching, this man walking around eating honey, wearing camel's hair, this guy was a prophet living out there in the wilderness that people were going out to see. And he starts preaching, "You brood of vipers." He sees the religious leaders come at him. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath," right? He just gets in their face. And he preaches, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And so people are repenting, and John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, of the cleansing of the deeds done in the flesh. Jesus, being perfect, had no need of a baptism of repentance. Is that right? So then why would he go to John to be baptized? Good question. I'm glad you asked. Turn with me to Matthew, the third chapter. Turn with me to Matthew, the third chapter. Right off the bat in the Gospels, we find Jesus, before he starts his public ministry, heads out to the wilderness, to the Jordan River, to go find his cousin John, and he's baptized. Take a look at what it says in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 13 through verse number 15. Let's take a look at the reason why Jesus was baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 13 starts out, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him." Verse number 14, "And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?'" Now, that's a true statement, isn't it? John was a sinful man with a nature just like ours. Is that right? John would have messed up while he was here on the earth, and therefore, John, knowing that Jesus is the Lamb of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, he's the Christ, he is the perfect one, he is the anointed one, he's saying a true statement: "You don't need to be baptized by me. You're perfect. I need to be baptized by you, Jesus." Verse number 15, "But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him." Now notice, out of the mouth of Jesus, he tells us the reason why he needed to be baptized. He says, "It's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." All throughout the Word of God, Jesus had things that he had to adhere to. There were prophecies concerning him. One of the prophecies concerning Jesus is that he was numbered with the transgressors. See, Jesus wanted to identify with the sinners. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he was numbered amongst the transgressors, not just at the cross, but also in a baptism of repentance that he did not need, and yet he still went through it anyways. Why? So that he could identify with us. Are you listening? So he said, "Let's do this." Why? To fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness is the right wisdom of God, the right way of God. It's both the position and the practice of God's will and God's way. And so he says, if I'm going to fulfill all righteousness, I need to be identified with the people of God. But also, I need to walk in obedience to the will of the Father. And it was God's will that Jesus be baptized. Now, in the Old Testament, you will find on the Day of Atonement, the priests, before they went into the presence of God with the blood of the Lamb, they would wash in the large bronze laver. They would wash away all of the blood and all of the soot and all of the things that took place before they entered the presence of God, because they would burn that body to ash, but they would keep the blood and they would carry it in before the presence of the Lord. Now, you can imagine, in a slaughter of animals and in burning flesh, you're going to be stinky. You're going to be covered in soot and blood and all this stuff. And so before he goes into the presence of God, he washes himself in that bronze laver. He cleanses the flesh, and then he changes his clothes and he goes into the presence of God. In the same way, Jesus, as our high priest, he was baptized as a symbol that there was something going to take place. There was going to be a change in his life. Are you listening? He used to be the carpenter's son. He used to be Mary's boy. He used to be that dude from Nazareth that was building people's homes and putting tables in their houses, right? He was just some guy. And yet, here he comes to the Jordan River. He goes underneath the water and he comes out. And now, all of a sudden, his public ministry begins at that point. You guys getting a hold of this? And also, what else happens? The Spirit of God descends on him like a dove. Now, John was told by God that the one whom you see the Spirit descending on and resting on That is the one whom I have chosen. So it was a symbol to John too. Notice what Jesus said. It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Do we have the verse up there? Let's get the verse up there one more time. Come on, guys. Don't leave me alone with the verse not on the overheads. There we go. Look at what he says. Thus, it is fitting for us. Not only Jesus, John had something that he needed to do. John needed to be the one to baptize the Christ. And the word of God had to be fulfilled in John's life too. Therefore, when Jesus is baptized, it's not just for himself, it's for us to fulfill all righteousness. John baptizes him. He sees the dove coming down on him. All of a sudden, the voice comes from heaven. This is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. See, the identification with the people of God as well as the obedience to the will of the Father brought the pleasure of God. Is anybody listening today? So who can be baptized? Who can be baptized? If you're sitting there thinking, you know what, this is just for the elite, this is just for certain people, who can be baptized? See, baptism is a symbol of repentance. It's a symbol of the cleansing, and it also represents our new life in Jesus Christ. When we take you under those waters, it symbolizes that you are now dead to your old life. You're dead to that sin nature, that's gone, that you have been cleansed of that. But as you come up out of the waters, now all of a sudden it represents that you have been raised again to life with Jesus Christ. Baptism is not a requirement for salvation. I told you I'm going to get in your face. I'm going to tell you some things that may rub your religious flesh the wrong way. Some of you guys have been taught wrong that you have to be baptized in order to get saved. Baptism is not a requirement for salvation. Salvation is a requirement for baptism. In other words, we don't get baptized so we can be saved. We get baptized because we are saved. Thank you for helping me out preaching the message. You guys are preaching really good today. Praise the Lord. Let me show this to you in the Bible, Acts chapter number 8. Philip is traveling. He's preaching. He just had a revival meeting down in Samaria. All right? All sorts of things are happening, miracles, signs, and wonders. And all of a sudden, he gets a word. I want you to go out by the wilderness. I want you to go out to the desert. I want you to go, and there's going to be a chariot over there. I want you to overtake that chariot. He comes up, and the guy is reading the Bible. He's reading in the book of Isaiah. As he's reading, you know, Philip leans over and says, hey, bro, do you know, and I'm paraphrasing in IE terminology for y'all today, okay? He says, hey, do you know what you're reading? He says, how can I know unless someone tells me what's up? And so he says, I can tell you what's up. Let me share this. And he finds from the scriptures right there about the suffering servant, and he preaches Jesus to this Ethiopian eunuch. And so as they're traveling, look what happens in Acts chapter number 8, verse number 36 and verse number 37. Acts chapter 8, verse number 36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? So remember, we asked the question, who can be baptized? Verse number 37. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. That was the only requirement he put on him. You have to be a believer. And not just mental assent, not just casual, oh, I understand about it. No, not just I understand. If you believe with all your heart, with everything, if this is something that you are invested in all your heart and all of your life, then you may. Look at the response. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then he baptized him. And then all of a sudden, it's like an episode of Star Trek, beam me up, Jesus. Philip is gone. He's preaching the gospel somewhere else. It's amazing. A miracle that takes place. But see, baptism is an amazing thing that does something in our lives. I remember the story of a machinist at the Ford Motor Company in its early beginnings when they had started their different production lines and that sort of a thing. And a man who was a machinist on the line at Ford, he actually got saved and went and was baptized. And he realized after his baptism that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him, and he started to get convicted because he had stolen parts from Ford Motor Company. He was so convicted that he brought all of the parts back to his boss, and he laid them out before me, and he said, I'm so sorry, I've stolen from the company, and I'm just here to make it right. If you have to send me to jail, convict me, go ahead. But I need to do this. He says, why are you doing this? He says, because I gave my heart to the Lord and I got baptized. And ever since I got baptized, I just can't get this off me and I have to make it right. And he says, okay, hold on. I'm going to figure out what to do. And so the boss leaves and he actually calls Henry Ford. And he calls him up. And he says, I don't know what to do. I've got this machinist who stole from the company, but he brought everything back. He said it was because he got baptized. What do you want me to do? Henry Ford chuckled and he said, well, I want you to build a dam in the Detroit River and I want you to baptize the entire company. Here's a question for all of us. Why should we be baptized? Why should we be baptized? Here's a couple reasons. Number one is to follow the example of Jesus. Don't you think if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for his body? Shouldn't we be following Jesus in his example? How about this? To follow the commandments of God. Peter said to the people who asked him, what shall we do to be saved? He said, repent every one of you and be baptized. Now, lest we make a doctrine out of that one verse, the very next chapter when they ask the same question, he says, repent and be converted, all right? So don't just think that it's only about the baptism that gets you saved. Remember, you don't get saved because you're baptized. You get baptized because you're saved. And so we need to follow the commandments of God. And whether it saves us or not is not the issue. To follow the commandment of God is the issue. And God says, repent, right? He says, be converted, your heart, all of your heart. If you believe with all of your heart, you can. So then follow the commandments of God. Be baptized as a Christian. How about this? To fulfill all righteousness, just like Jesus, right? He said, it's fitting for us. And we are a part of that us because we are the body of Christ. And in our lives, we need to be baptized so that we can fulfill all righteousness. Romans chapter 6 says this, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There should be something different about our lives. There should be something that marks us. We should identify as the people of God, and we should be walking in obedience to the commandments of God. Here's another question for all of us. What happens to us when we're baptized? Is there anything mystical about the waters? Is there anything that happens when you go underneath, you know? Do we hold you down long enough so that the sins are all gone, you know? Heard the story of a mom that took her son with her church group up to Lake Tahoe, and her little 8-year-old son decided he was going to get baptized that day. And so we went down in the waters, they baptized him, and he came back up out, and she just was so moved. She had tears in her eyes. When he came up to her, she asked him tearfully, honey, do you feel any different? And he said, I do, Mom. I've got water in my nose now. What's going to happen to you when you get baptized? Well, in the natural, you're going to get wet. Plain and simple. And if you're not plugging your nose, you might get water up your nose, just like that little 8-year-old boy. But in the spirit, what takes place, see, baptism is not just the outward act of going under the water. Because the Bible talks about there are different types of baptisms, not just the baptism of water, but there's also a baptism into Christ. Really, that's the reality. Remember, we're talking about ritual versus reality. And if baptism doesn't save you, will you go to heaven if you never get baptized on the earth? Of course you will. What about the people in the World Trade Center that somebody was witnessing to and they believed and they said, wait a second, I'm sorry, we're going to go down and you're going to go to hell because you never got baptized. Not going to work, right? No, God is a merciful God. He's a just God. And if they believe with all their heart, then they're going to go to heaven, right? And so it's not about the ritual. It's about the reality of being baptized into Christ. The Bible says there's one baptism. Really, that's the one baptism, that we are baptized into Christ. But the Bible also speaks of the baptism in the water. How about this? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's many baptisms that you'll see. There's a baptism of persecution and with fire, right? There's things that take place. Many different things that we're submerged into. But really, it's all about the reality of our heart. And in the natural, you may just get wet, but beyond the natural, there's a spiritual baptism that takes place when you get saved. You are baptized into Christ. See, even the children of Israel, we're told, were an example of this. That when they left Egypt, they left slaves. On one side of the water, they were persecuted. They were slaves. They were someone else's property. But as they passed through the waters of the Red Sea, the Bible says that they were all baptized with that same spiritual baptism. They came out on the other side victors. They came out on the other side the people of God. They came out on the other side conquerors. They came out on the other side free men and women. And it's the same thing with us. When you give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, you are baptized into Christ, and you used to be a slave to sin. But now, on the other side of the waters, hello, are you listening today? On the other side of the waters, when you come up, when you are resurrected with Jesus Christ, now you are a victor. Now you are an overcomer. Now you're no longer that sinner. You are a saint of Almighty God. And now here you are living in the freedom of Jesus Christ. That's what happens when you are baptized in Christ. In the secular realm of Greek writings, one of the clearest examples we see is the meaning of baptizo from a text from a guy by the name of Nicander. He was a Greek poet and physician who lived at about 200 BC. He gave us a recipe for making pickles that kind of describes to us how baptism really works. Very helpful for us to understand baptism. You never thought that you'd be in a pickle, huh? Here we go. He says that in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should first be dipped into boiling water and then submerged into a vinegar solution. Okay? First, it has to be dipped into boiling water. That cleanses it, right? And then it is submerged, it is baptized into a vinegar solution. Both ideas concern the immersing of vegetables into a solution. The dip is temporary, but the baptism, the submersion, produces a permanent change. Hello. See, also in secular writings, you'll find that the word baptism was used of sinking ships and as well of dyeing garments. See, in our lives, in the spirit, the reality of baptism is that we're going down with the ship. That our old life, it was sinking. It wasn't going to last. It wasn't going to take us anywhere. And we're going to go down into the waters. And now that old life is gone. It's dead. It is buried in the sea of forgetfulness. But now as we've been raised up out of the waters, as that garment was dyed, as it was applied to the dye solution, but now as it comes up out, it comes out a new color. It comes out, it goes in one way and it comes out another way. See, when you are raised up again with Jesus Christ, you no longer have the sin nature. Your nature has been changed. And I see in the Bible that anybody who took their garments, anybody who took their filth, anyone who took their rags, and they dipped it in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as they raised that garment up out of the blood, it became white as snow. And now they are robed with his royalty. Now all of a sudden you are a Christian. You are submerged. You are wall to wall, Holy Spirit. He's in you. He's through you. He's around you. He is on you. He is your God and you are his child. And that is the difference that makes when you get baptized into Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, in the Amplified, this is the classic edition, says this, "And baptism, which is a figure of their deliverance, does now also save you from inward questionings and fears, not by removing the outward body filth, bathing." See, if that was the case, every day you'd be getting baptized in the shower, right? Just removing the filth of the flesh, hopefully. "But by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience, inward cleanness, and peace before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." See, baptism in the natural, the physical baptism that we do in the waters, is an outward expression of an inward reality of what's already taken place on the inside of your heart. If you've been baptized in Christ, if you believed with all of your heart, you've crossed over and now you've given your heart and life to Jesus. As you go into those waters, you're going down with the ship. That old life is dead. But as you come up out, you're saying, "Now I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm a changed man. I'm a changed woman. I'm going to live my life different. I'm going to live my life as a Christian. I now identify with the people of God and I'm walking in obedience to his commandments." I think the last question maybe on some of your minds is when? When can I be baptized? Well, if you want to be baptized in water, if you're a Christian already and you want to be baptized in water, next weekend is our water baptism weekend, okay? That's good, isn't it? Because that means you don't have to wait. Just bring your chanclas and your shorts next week and you can get baptized. Bring a towel if you want, or we got towels. We will get you guys going. But also, if you want to sign up beforehand on our website, rock.church, right down at the bottom, getting baptized is easy as 1, 2, 3, 1. Go to the Rock Church, rock.church, click on water baptisms at the bottom of the page. Click on the green button that says, "Want to get baptized?" There's a green button that says, "Sign up today." Click on that green button, and then 3, complete the registration, click submit, and you are registered with us to be baptized. Now, if you say, "Pastor, do I have to do all that? Can't I just show up next week and get baptized?" Of course you can. We would love to baptize you. All you got to do is just show up and jump in. If you forget your shorts, if you forget whatever, just jump in your Sunday best. It's all good in the hood, all right? You can just go get baptized. We're not going to restrict you. The only restriction is you better believe with all your heart. Because if it's just a ritual, if you're just, it's not going to do you any good. You might as well go home and take a bath, all right? But here's the deal, is that if you believe with all your heart, the next weekend, we want to baptize you in water. Why? To fulfill all righteousness, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and to follow in the commandments of God.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.